The procedure of bringing the Korban Tomid, the first sacrifice of every single day, continues to be recorded in the Mishnah, and once dawn had arrived, Misha Zocha Batomid, the one who had merited and received the honor of slaughtering the Korban Tomid, Moishchai, he would pull the animal which had been designated for that purpose, and he would walk to the area which was designated for slaughtering Korbanos. This was an area in the courtyard next to the Beis HaMikdash, Misha Zocha Ba'ivar Mahelchon Acharov, and those who received the jobs of transporting the limbs of this animal to the ramp of the Mizbeach, they would follow after that person who was going to slaughter the animal because he would need their assistance. For example, they would need to hold down the animal while it would be slaughtered. So those other 12 Kohanim would follow him to the Beis Hamit B'chaim. And Beis Hamit B'chaim had its furniture on his Beach. This open area designated for slaughtering was situated to the north of the Mizbeach, V'olov Shmona Amud Min HaNosim, and in that area were 8 short pillars. Literally, a nanos is a dwarf, so it means, so to speak, there were 8 dwarf pillars made of stone, Ravin Shel Erez Al-Gabehen, and there were square planks of cedar wood which were placed on top of these pillars, and there were iron hooks fixed into these planks of cedar wood. It would be difficult to have the hooks placed in the stone pillars, and therefore they would place them in these planks of cedar wood. And there were 3 sets of hooks for each of these pillars, which we're going to understand to mean that there were 3 hooks, one underneath the other, all coming out of this plank of cedar wood, and they were at different heights for the different animals, which would be larger or smaller. A sheep, for example, is much smaller than a cow, and therefore it would be hung from a lower hook. They would hang the animals on these hooks from the animal's feet, umafshitin, and they would begin to skin the animal. And so that the animal would not have its head on the floor, which would be considered disrespectful for the korban, for the sacrifice, they would skin the animal al shulchan shulshay shabin hamudim, with the head of the animal resting on marble tables, which were situated in between each of the pillars, such that although the animal was hanging from the top of the pillars, the other side of the animal, from its head, it was resting on a marble table, and in that way they would skin the animal. They would, of course, only hang the animal on the hook once it had been slaughtered, and the beginning of the next perek will talk about the actual slaughtering of the Korban Tomid. Mishnah Vov, so far everything that has taken place has happened in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, 2 out of the 13 Kohanim who had been given jobs had jobs which needed to take place inside the Heichal. The Heichal is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is, more specifically, the one who would need to clean off the ashes from the Mizbeach which stood in the Heichal, and the one who had to clean out and prepare the menorah, the candelabra, to light later on in the day. And because these were the 2 first services performed in the Heichal, those 2 Kohanim who received these jobs would be the ones who would also get the honor of opening up the doors to the Heichal. In order to open the doors of the Heichal, they needed to open and unlock 2 different locks. And one of those locks was a regular lock from the outside of the door, from where they stood in the courtyard, going into the Heichal. They would need to simply unlock the door from that side. However, there was a second lock which could only be unlocked from the inside. And the way they accessed that was via a hole in the wall. And the Kohen would stick his hand with the key through that hole. And he would have to stick his entire arm all the way until his armpit through the hole. And then he would unlock it like that, from the inside. And the Mishnah will describe this. The 2 Kohanim who received the jobs of cleaning the Inner Mizbeach, which stood inside the Heichal, and cleaning out the menorah, the candelabra which was lit, they would literally start early. The way we're going to understand that is to mean that they would already take hold of the utensils that they would need to perform their services, such that they would be holding them already even before they open the doors, so they would be ready to immediately proceed with those services, and they would be holding in total 4 different utensils. Firstly, hateni, which is a basket in which the ashes from the mizbeach would be placed, the hakuz, and a jug, which is slightly smaller than the teni basket, and this was used for putting the ashes of the menorah into that jug, and they would have the 2 keys which are necessary for opening the heichal doors. Hateni domel tarik of gadol shel zahav. The basket was similar to a classic golden container which contained a tarkov. A tarkov comes from the word tray, which means 2, and kav, which is a particular measurement of volume. So a tarkov essentially means something which can hold 3 kav, 2 plus 1 kav. So the Mishnah says that the teni was similar to a tarkov, in the sense that it was a basket which could hold a similar volume, however not exactly the same. Machzik kabayim v'chitzi. The basket could hold 2.5 kav of ashes, whatever it may be. The hakuz and the jag, domele kitten gadol shel zahav, was similar to a large golden jug. A kitten refers to a jug with a more narrow top, a narrow opening, and the same was true for the kuz. And the kuz was used for cleaning the menorah, alright? Oshneim aftachais, and with regards to the 2 keys, like we explained, echad yored l'amas ha-shechi, one would need to be opened by him placing his arm, his hand, through the hole in the wall, all the way to his armpit. The echad, whereas one of the keys, paseach kevon, he would use to just open the door directly in front of him in a regular manner. Mishnah Zayin, the truth is, the process which was described in the previous Mishnah of opening the 2 locks, one from the outside, one from the inside, is not actually the way that they would open the main doors to the Heichal. Rather, Bolo Lepishpish Hatzfoini, the one who was opening the doors, would walk towards the mini door, which stood to the north of the main doors of the Heichal. Again, the Heichal is the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Ushnei Pishpishin Hoyle L'Shar HaGadol, and there were 2 mini doors which were adjacent to the main gate, the main doors towards the Heichal. One of these mini doors was to the north of the main gate, the main double doors entranceway to the Heichal, and one was to the south. And over here, north means it was to the right, whereas south means it was to the left. So on either side of the main doors to the Heichal were 2 mini doors. Shebadoraim, the one which stood in the south, meaning to the left of the main doors, lo nichnas be'adomei oilom, nobody ever entered through that door to the Heichal. The olivim v'fereshal ye'echezkel, and regarding that door, the Pasuk says explicitly in Yechezkel, v'yomer elai Hashem, Hashem said to me, hashar hazeh sogor yeh, this gate, the doors are often referred to as gates, will be closed, lo yipaseach, it will not be opened, v'ish lo yovei boy, and no man will come through that door, ki Hashem elokei Yisrael bavoy, because Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, so to speak, comes through that door when he enters into the Heichal. V'haya sogor, and therefore it will be closed, because it is not fitting that a human being will enter into the Heichal via the same entrance as Hashem, so to speak. Not also Mafteach, he took the key, Ufosach Zapishpesh, and he opened the mini door which stood on the right of the main doors to the Heichal. And it's this door, which was described in the previous Mishnah, where he would use the 2 keys to open it, one from the outside and one from the inside. Now, the actual walls of the Heichal were very thick indeed. They were 6 amas thick, which is around 3 meters thick. But the doors were obviously not that thick. And the truth is, there were 2 sets of doors. There was 1 door on the outer part of the wall, where the wall ended and the courtyard began. But past those doors, there was still roughly 6 amas before the actual Heichal began. And that space is called the Ulam. It has a higher level of sanctity than the courtyard, because it's already part of the entrance going in towards the Heichal, getting closer and more inside the Beis HaMikdash. And then at the entrance to the Heichal itself, on the other end of the thickness of the wall, there would be another set of doors, and these were the main doors to enter into the Heichal. Now the Pishpesh, this mini door that we're talking about, stood at the side of the wall which was next to the courtyard. And once he opened that door, Nichas Latar, he would enter into a sort of small room whose function was to be a passageway towards entering the Heichal. He would be walking effectively through the walls now. When Atala Heichal, he would leave this passageway and enter into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and he would walk straight to open the door, until he reaches the main gate, the main doors of the Heichal. Hegia L'Shaar HaGadol, once he reaches this main gate, the main doors, Hevers HaNegeres HaPeschias, he would take off the bolt and unlock the locks of Sochai, and he would open these double doors, and he would also at this point open the double doors which stood on the other end of the ulam going into the courtyard. So both sets of doors would be opened by this kohen who had entered into the heichal and opened the doors from the inside. The Mishnah just notes that the one who was appointed to slaughter the Korban Tomid would not do so until he hears the noise which is made by the large gate, these main doors being opened. It's learned from Pesukim that the doors of the Heichal must be opened at the time that the Korban Tomid is slaughtered. From Yerichai, which was quite a distance away from Yerushalayim and from the Beis HaMikdash, they would hear the noise which was produced when the main gate, when the main doors of the Heichal were opened. It made a tremendous noise. From Yerichai, they would also be able to hear the noise of the Magrefa, which was a particularly beautiful and sophisticated instrument which was used in the Beis HaMikdash. It could produce hundreds of sounds. From Yericho, they would be able to hear the noise of the wooden machine which Ben Kotin made for lowering the kiar down underground during the night in order to avoid the water becoming invalidated. In general, water, once it's been placed into a utensil used in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's left overnight, it becomes invalidated. To avoid this happening with the kiyar, Ben Kotin created a system where the kiyar would be lowered underground, and its water would be connected with water underground during the nighttime, and that would prevent it from being invalidated. The Mishnah is telling us that this would make a loud noise, which would be heard all the way until Yerichai. Fourthly, Yerichai is showing Kol Gvini Korais. From Yerichai, they would be able to hear the voice of Gvini, who was the one who would make the announcements in the morning and wake people up. He would call out to the Kohanim and the Levim to wake up and begin their service. In addition, they would be able to hear the voice, the sound of the flute, which was played in the Beis HaMikdash on select occasions during the year, when the full Hallel was recited on joyous occasions. They would be able to hear the sound of the cymbals, which would be very loud. They would be able to hear the voice of the song, the sound of the song when the Levim sang. From Yericho, they would be able to hear the sound of the shofar, which was blown at least 21 blasts every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And there is an opinion that understands, that holds, that af kolosh kohen gadol, even the voice of the kohen gadol b'shashu mazker es Hashem yom kippurim, at the time that he mentions Hashem's name on Yom Kippur three times during his confession and atonement, when he confesses for his own sins, for the kohanim's sins, and for the sins of the Jewish people, he would mention Hashem's explicit name. And the truth is, many understand that it will be impossible for the Kohen Gadol's voice alone to carry that far. We're rather referring to the sound of everybody else who was present in the Beis HaMikdash when they heard the Kohen Gadol say Hashem's name. They would all answer with the pasuk Borshim Kved Malchus Eloheinu Voed. So when everybody else answered that, that sound would carry all the way until Yerichai. And the reason why Yerichai is singled out, there are those who explain that although it was quite a distance away, from the Beis HaMikdash, from Yerushalayim. The reason why the sound would travel so far is because there were no high mountains or towers which would block the sound waves from traveling all the way until Yericho. In other directions, however, it could be that it didn't travel that far. They would be able to smell the scent of the spices, which were part of the incense which was offered in the Beis HaMikdash and burnt every day. Omar Rabbi Eliezer ben Diglai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Diglai added that Izim Hayu Leveis Abba Bahar Michvar, my father's family, my father's household owned goats in Har Michvar, which was a mountain quite a far distance away from Yerushalayim, and these goats were known to sneeze because of the scent which came from the Ketores, the incense which was burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. And this just emphasizes how far these things spread from the Beis HaMikdash.